This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
And you win it, the new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? Another Champions League night, Champions League morning. Different kickoff time, but it doesn't matter because Carrick's Reds head down to southern Spain, get a big victory against the El Submarine. So we are not going to Europa League this season. big news,
sir.
Great win. Great to get a win. It's been too long, it feels like, since Manchester United just had a good win. You know, first 60 minutes left a lot to be desired. Last 30, I enjoyed it. But hey, how we feeling?
Sir, we lost that winning feeling, and we finally got it back. A little taste of 3 points. Started nervy. Mick Fred midfield. Jeez. Didn't look confident. Villarreal adventuring forward, but we held. The lads held. We got a big goal in a big moment from a big player, and that's the difference maker, sir. Knockout stages of the Champions League. I said it here. That's all I want this year. I need a break. You go through big breakup, sack Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Team's been playing absolute shit football since I can remember. Watford 4-1. I just don't have to hear Hans and Franz. I mean, they're really upset. They called me. They asked me if we could play the Europa League theme on the pod. Alex flipped out. He said, absolutely no way. We're not playing it. But just one of those things where as fans, we can just take a collective sigh of relief. We're not going back to Thursday nights. And that's huge. And then that way we can just say, hey, let's hope we get a blockbuster matchup. We can get an interim manager, get going in the Champions League. Sir, I said we would win it. My prediction is still alive. We can turn this around and then focus on top four. Focus on not hearing Hans and Franz next season.
Yeah, one season after another. First, we start with this season and on to the next. But this is an important win just because it's the win that we needed in the group. Shore it up. We've been kind of up and down. It shouldn't have been this kind of like game five. You know, now we're starting to lock things up. But hey, it was a good performance. Speaking of big-time players, who kept us in that game is David De Gea. He's been world-class, back to his old self all season, and he was great today, kept us in, and we had nothing doing going forward. And then you bring on Bruno and Rashford. I think it was Bruno, changed the game. And like I said, those last 20, 25 minutes were actually fun to watch at times. So big game, sir. There's a big opponent on the weekend, though, as big as they come. Chelsea, league leaders at the moment. Hate to say it.
I honestly haven't got my head around the Chelsea match for many reasons. Just because, you know, you look at the league and it's all scrambled eggs at the moment as far as where we're going to fall, who's our next manager. I think when you think of the Premier League, there's a lot of questions to be answered. But with the Champions League, it's crunch time. It's go time. This was a must-win result for Manchester United. We got it over the line. This is big. I think the boys can celebrate. I'm not quite popping champagne bottles that we got out of the group stages of the Champions League, but for this side, for this team, after Gdansk, I think it's important that we don't have to hear that theme music anymore.
No, it is, and it's also like if we were out already and then you're facing an uphill battle to get back in the top four, which I think we're only 6 points out. There's plenty of room left for us to kind of get back in it. But you have that thing that you're missing, and you're like, we got to play in Europa League. Ronaldo's already going to be pissed based on that, just not playing in Champions League, let alone you have a double chance on ending up and doing it again next year. So it's an important win. It's important for the Champions League, and it's important because, hey, when this ship's turning, we needed a big win, and I think it's about time that ship turns. And it's like, you know, Carrick under the tutelage to the next interim, and whether that's Poch or someone else until the end of the season, but
Ed Woodward we'll find extension.
Oh, who knows?
Ed Woodward wants to hang around.
Nowhere. He ain't going nowhere.
You know, don't like that guy. He should have beat it after the Super League, sir. Lots of things can happen at this club, and given the boardroom and everything underneath, there's not a lot of confidence. It's going to go right for this team. But the one thing you have to remember, we have played Europa League the last 2 years, sir. we are a Europa League side. We played, don't you remember? We played with Ole during COVID, during the COVID season, and obviously we thought we were going to win that. We didn't. Then we went to the final last season after getting knocked out of the Champions League in the group stage. And then this season, we barely skirted by. What does that say about Manchester United? It's our biggest club in the world. It's just like by the hair on our chinny chin chin, avoiding Thursday night football. It's incredible.
Hey, but you know what? It's where we want to be because we locked it up on game week 5 instead of game week 6. That could be worse. We remember game week 6 last year? That was a nightmare.
No, but it's looking at the full club's history and where we've come and how hard it is for us to qualify for the knockout stages.
Sir,
at this
the
point.
Standards have dropped by like such magnitudes that we talk about it all the time, especially in relation to how the club is run, because right, it's never more apparent how poorly the club is run when they're thrown into crisis. You're seeing that now. But the standards have dropped, sir, and I think like hopefully these guys, these owners get out. We get new owners in that are ambitious, that want to spend money, that want to put smart people in positions to make decisions about, you know, the footballing nature of the biz other than just selling cups and noodles. I don't know how long it's going to be, sir. 2-3 years, could be 20, 30 years. I hope it's not. But standards have certainly dropped, sir. But at least like hopefully they bring in someone borderline competent that could cobble together all these world-class players. We have world-class talent, sir. When like Sancho started ripping today, we saw some of like the finest of Sancho we've seen at Manchester United. Of course, we got the goal, but his just all-around play was just like, he's such an exciting player that we have. The Rashford. You also have Cavani just hanging around. Greenwood. Obviously, Ronaldo, he's coming with goals. And it's like, this team has talent. Now it's someone's going to just, we need a tinkerer, sir. And I don't know who it is, but we need to find one.
So, you know, I put my CV in. I have not got a call back, sir.
No calls.
Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans by fans. We don't have any sponsors on this podcast. We're not going to waste your time with ads you hear all over the internet and on other podcasts. Absolutely sucks when you interrupt the show for some crazy ad reads, although I'd like to see Alex stumble through them. We decided to go the direct fan support route, which is essentially Patreon. We've chosen Patreon as the venue to do that. You can visit our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We post a behind-the-scenes episode every single month. You can support us on a few different tiers. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. It's 2021. We think we want to be supported by you, the fans, directly. Help this small-time operation keep ticking. We got bad internet, old computers, sound equipment we don't understand. We're just like Manchester United, and that's what it's all about. All the technology is just that's just all the hurdles we got to jump through to get this podcast to you guys. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. We have our awesome champion hoodies with our new Stanley Chow American Red Devils badge logo printed on them. Sir, we had to go to two different vendors to get it right. They're awesome. Get it, check it out. Also, visit the blog while you're there. Awesome fan-generated content. Alex, editor-in-chief, tell them about iTunes reviews.
Wow, iTunes reviews, they certainly go a long way in helping us get found, and they're highly appreciated by the two hosts of the American Red Devils. Here's what you got to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it has cheeky banter, even better. We do love that. Makes my day when I read it. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address. And I will personally send you some American Red Devil swag straight to your door. Great way to support the pod. Doesn't cost a single dollar at all, sir. Thanksgiving week. We got a big week. Big game today. Villarreal, Southern Spain. How we feeling?
Yeah, big happy Thanksgiving to all American Red Devils. Alex, he was I'm going over to his house, bringing the family. He's complaining he can't get the 20-pound turkey. He got the 16-pounder. He's also got the honey-glazed ham. Sir, how's Thanksgiving dinner going? You take a lot of pride in Thanksgiving dinner. This guy's getting really excited about it. He's got like papers and sheets and everything.
You got to be organized. Sir, I was disappointed. You know, only had a 16-pounder, probably went to the wrong supermarket, but it forced my hand around the honey glazed ham. You know, I was just worried about feeding 4 people, 16 pounds. That's barely 4 pounds a person, sir.
So I can take 5 pounds of turkey on Thanksgiving. It's going to be a great time. There'll be no Thursday night football for Manchester United, thank God. But let's jump into this match. We have Villarreal 0, Manchester United 2, sir, at the El Madrigal in España. Game week 5, like you said, we locked it up in game week 5. We all thought we would, but we didn't think it'd be that hard. Look at that lineup. We had Dave Says, world number 1 in net. Alex Telles, who's that? at left back, Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing, Wan-Bissaka on the right. And here's the rub. We get the McFred midfield. Carrick going to make a lot of changes. Then he puts Donny in, Sancho, Ronaldo, and Martial, sir. What do you think of this lineup from Carrick? Is it really, I heard Romano, big changes from Michael Carrick coming. Like, is this really that crazy of a lineup to put together? He put Donny at 10, kept the two CDMs that have failed against Villarreal and have not played well in the Champions League to date.
No, I mean, it's not a big change. He was like his number two, right? Or three. So it's like, of course, it's not a huge deviation from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He was one of his assistant coaches. So he's going to be in like the general philosophy of how he likes to approach teams. No huge changes other than like Bruno gets the drop. Telles finally gets a start. Midfielders, defenders pick themselves, right? Because like Varane's injured. You're not going to just buy in this game. Martial was kind of like, okay, give him a go. But he didn't really do much to impress today, did he?
He didn't do much to impress against Watford either.
No, he did not.
So the Martial one, strange for me. McFred, what are you doing? Donny should be playing in an 8 with Fred. You should have Bruno coming at 10.
Totally.
And obviously put Rashford on the left, have a little more pace. I love the Telles play. You got to get a look at him. So I just felt a little conservative from Carrick. But again, if I somehow stumbled into the managerial role after I was part of a failed coaching staff and I helped my boss get fired and then somehow I'm the guy to pick the lineup, I'd probably be conservative too.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty damning, sir. I mean, they're all responsible. They all got him fired.
No, that's Wires what I'm saying. Like, yeah,
responsible.
Yeah, but and we came out in the first half looking like same old United.
Same
I mean,
old.
You didn't like apparently Carrick and McKenna. Those guys had a lot of responsibility in helping the team prepare for these matches, and they have come out flat and not been playing well. And you make Carrick the coach, and it was kind of more of the same. A lot of people online kind of saying same old United. 5th minute. David De Gea, big save, pulled into early save. We've seen this movie before. 27th minute, another spectacular save from David De Gea. United, nothing going forward, sir. We didn't even have the ball quite a bit. Players up front, Ronaldo trying to press. Fred didn't know when to go. A lot of miscommunication, just the basics. Not saying Carrick could do it overnight, but maybe you get a new coaching staff in. The interim to the interim.
They're working on it.
What is an interim? Are we on interim? Because United interim. Is making up concepts of coaches. It's like we have interim, then we're going to have interim, then we're going to have actual coach. So we've had an interim for 3 years. Now we're going interim, and then a real coach.
No, so we had a real
it's going to be a while.
Who happened to be an interim.
But you know what I'm saying. There's all these titles. No club has ever been interim.
What happens if we go on a run?
Aston Villa, fire their manager, hire another manager.
The real scary thing is like part of me thinks, and we're like, here we are going on a tangent, breaking down the game.
Interim.
Part of me thinks that the board is like waiting to see how Carrick goes. Maybe Carrick turns it around. We can ride his coattails for 3 years. We're in this game, but that first half was pretty dull. We couldn't, it's the same old shit, right? Couldn't play at the back. They were pressing us. They were clogging up the midfield. Fred and McTominay in the first half especially didn't want to pass through the midfield. So like Donny wasn't involved at all. Martial was non-existent. You know, Ronaldo, if he's not getting service, can't do much. And Sancho only had glimpses. So like that midfield, you could tell, just wasn't working. And it wasn't really until they made a mistake or until you brought Bruno on that like things started clicking.
30th minute, Ronaldo with our first shot on target. Header. Again, Ronaldo could have done better. But look, just like a lackluster first half, similar to what we've seen with United in the Champions League. Again, like the only thing we're missing is Ole on the touchline looking at the iPad with Carrick. Instead, you get Carrick coming in the second half. 53rd minute, Fred with a decent hit after Sancho has a nice move. This is when Sancho, you start seeing the sparks there, but 59th minute, Dave saves again. Massive save from the Spaniard. The theme continues, keeping us in these games all season. And then 66th minute, double sub, Bruno and Rashford for Donny and Martial. Again, Tony Martial. Curious how he's getting a start over Rashford here. Maybe Carrick's looking to Chelsea. Is he going to be in the job against Chelsea? Who knows, sir? This is the biggest club in the world. What a show.
Yeah, sir, it's strap aboard. It is Manchester United at the moment. Who knows? Who knows? We're going to post interim, pre-interim, post-interim. But all I know is I enjoy winning, and I enjoyed winning today. So let's talk about that winning.
Let's get into the winning. 71st minute, great play and chance for Sancho. I thought you should have put this one away.
Yeah.
And then obviously, 78th minute, the man, sir, the legend, CR7.
By Villarreal, sitting mid-table in La Liga. Here's a chance.
It could be an opportunity here, and it's sent over the goalkeeper's head and into the back of the net. And Manchester United have the lead.
See.
And once again, it's Cristiano Ronaldo. Has seen him score in every match in the Champions League this season, but Villarreal played a big role in their own downfall there.
Well, they certainly
you got to give credit for Fred. He creates the opportunity, and Ronaldo, just that quick ability to pivot and then finish first time. Sort of a nice chip goal for Cristiano Ronaldo. You give him chances like that, he's going to score. I mean, that's what he is.
We needed one of those. You know, we need one of those goals. We need one of those chances. Fred, good on Fred. Great pressing. You know, I think he really started to shine in the second half when Bruno and Rashford came on. Even McTominay started to play a lot more confidently. And like I said, Sancho was like tearing it up on the right wing. He started cutting in with pace. He started to really see some creativity, especially when him and Rashford and Bruno were combining. So the future is bright. We got to just add a couple more additions, sir, and get rid of a couple of these players. But great goal for Ronaldo. What a finish. What a player he is. He just keeps scoring.
84th minute, Ronaldo almost scores again after another bad back pass. 85th, Rashford with a shot. And then, sorry, it was nice to see us on the front foot. We scored the goal. We didn't get all cagey. We didn't invite Villarreal to come on to us. We actually kept what, sir? What do we call it at Manchester United?
Sir, attack, 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 baby.
Attack, attack, attack. 89th minute.
By McTominay and now into Marcus Rashford. Val Torres goes alongside him, ball whipped in, Fernandez collected by Jadon Sancho, who scores his first goal for Manchester United. 2-0 on the night, three massive points for Michael Carrick and Manchester United in this most turbulent of weeks. Too late.
I'll tell you what, sir, when I scored my first goal for Manchester United, I wanted to be bar down.
Bar down. Dude, that was a goal. That was a goal. What a goal from Sancho. He had a great game. You know, there are a couple shout outs from man of the match. It's hard not to give it to De Gea, but Sancho, definitely a grab for it. But a great play. It was also just a nice football. You know, we saw a little bit of nice football last 20 minutes. It was very nice. It's been a while. Good, the right front four for sure. That was an exciting front four. But what a goal from Sancho. I think we really started to see him shine today. And what a finish. What a finish. Bar down.
91st minute, Matic on for Ronaldo, and 93rd, Juan Mata, he still plays for Manchester United. You have to remind me about that one. On for Jadon Sancho, sir. We do it 2-0 to Villarreal. Quick view of the stat sheet. Shots on target, 6-3. Manchester United had the 6, so we bested them there. Villarreal on possession, 52% to our 48%, sir. Not too shabby. On the score sheet, clearly this later part of the second half, we came on to him. I would say the last 25 minutes, United looked like they found a new gear. Hopefully, that's something that we can take to kick on against sort of the league leaders, Chelsea scum. Cristiano Ronaldo's strike against Villarreal was the third time he has scored a match-winning goal in the final 15 minutes of a Champions League this season. We would surely be playing Europa League football without Cristiano Ronaldo. And he has now scored each of Manchester United's last four goals in the UEFA Champions League. The first player to score four consecutive goals for the club in the competition since Wayne Rooney. And it was a nice vintage of Wayne Rooney in 2010. And Ronaldo is the first ever player to score in each of an English club's first five matches of a single European Cup / Champions League season ever. And Michael Carrick is the first English manager to win his first game in charge of Manchester United since Walter Crickmere in November 1931. Now, if you've listened to our history segments, you've heard of Walter Crickmere.
Those were the dark days, I believe.
But, sir, like post-World War I, pre-World War II, you're not a lot going for Manchester United back in those days. And Jadon Sancho has scored his first ever Manchester United goal. It is what is his 15th appearance from his 11th attempted shot in all competitions. Look, give the man time. He's a youngster. He will come on good. And any manager should know that he is the guy to play. Now, another takeaway today is What did Sancho do to Ole? What did Donny do to Ole? What did Telles do to Ole? It's almost like Ole took out like such a big section of the roster never to play. Maybe that was his Achilles heel. I don't know why, because like clearly Donny's good. Clearly Sancho's good. Clearly Telles is good. Something about, is it favoritism? What is his style? It's just like a weird thing where I get like Paul Pogba doesn't listen and he's kind of like, I can get falling out with a player like Paul because you're trying to create a team environment. He's all about, you know, we've always said it here, Paul Pogba's about Paul Pogba, but so many players only kind of froze out.
No, I mean, that was one of the major critiques on the manager. It was his ability to manage the squad, his selection ability. And one of the things you have to say is like, he didn't rotate enough. He didn't lean on certain players. He wasn't creative enough about throwing different 11s together. And that was certainly part of the reason that led to his demise. And whoever comes in next, right, like we've been saying, is like they're going to use Donny van de Beek. And they're definitely going to use Jadon Sancho. So I think Donny van de Beek, depending on how quickly the next interim manager or manager or whatever the hell is going on can come in, then the better, because I want to keep him here. He is a player. Paul Pogba is leaving. He is Lingard is also leaving. Like, if that wasn't on somebody's list, even though it shouldn't be, ahead of Donny, he is a player. He can grow into a very, very solid player for this squad.
And we have a few comments on Paul Scholes post-match. He's a little harsh on the coaching staff there.
The feeling in the club is a lot better from when he first came. We know now. We thought a long time ago that he probably couldn't take us to that next level which was required. He'd got us to a second in the Premier League, which isn't bad. Numerous semi-finals, a final as well last year, but he just couldn't make that final step. I have to say, it's difficult. You think about Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea, there's a lot of quality in this Premier League. And whoever comes now, it's not going to be easy to get Manchester United where they want to be. You asked a question, will they be any better tonight? It's the same people running the team. It's the same people who've been given massive responsibility every single week to put that team on the pitch. Arguably, it's more Kieran McKenna and Michael Carrick who's been preparing the team. All he gives them that responsibility to do that. So how that changes now, I don't know. And I think in preparation, we talk about people above the manager. 4 weeks ago, that Liverpool game, that was the time. It was a time that we knew that Ole was going to go. Look, it was plainly obvious. So then the people above had to prepare the next batch, the next manager, the next batch of staff. I'd be almost embarrassed being on the staff now after what happened to Ole. Being on the staff, preparing the team for this game tonight, I think they all should have gone, whether it was sacked or they go off their own back, because they were part of Ole's team. Ole trusted them each week to prepare a team for games, and they've let the club down, they've let the players down, just as much as Ole has. So,
at that point there about walking around,
it is true. You see Carrick and like Fletcher. What is Fletcher doing there? He's supposed to be the director of football. He's like on the touchline wearing a jumpsuit, and it's just like this cast of characters like Ole trusted quite a bit, which is why you saw him talking to them. Why they were on the touchline, they're the ones in charge. And you know, one point I'd make a little extra to Scholes and say, the reason why they're there is there's no plan B. Is the club literally had no plan B. And when you sack a manager, you got a game on Tuesday, you probably need the guys that are under Ole to continue the existing preparation for this game. So the question is, how fast can we get a new manager, new staff in? Now, you know, Manchester United, daylight dollar short, this whole thing can drag. That's what's scary to me is like, Scholes, I can't blame that. So if they're going to make up their mind on a Sunday and you got a game on Tuesday, I can't say that Carrick shouldn't be the guy and McKenna, and et cetera. But Sunday, maybe they should be out. Maybe like how much time do you need? A week? I know United could be 6 weeks with the interim, then an interim.
No, it could be January.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it could be a long time. Scholes is spot on. More so for the players' sake. I mean, the players in terms of like these former players and assistant coaches, they don't want to be there. When you sack, when a competent club pulls out a manager and replaces them with a new manager, other than when we talked about like Moy sacking the entire staff that was here that Fergie left, I'm talking about a normal like cadence at a football club that has a hierarchy with a director of football that actually has a director of football. they all go with him. They don't just like hang around. And I think that just proves the fact is that they're not on the front foot. They weren't paying attention.
Well, Scholes said they should be embarrassed
like a week ago. They probably are embarrassed. They don't want to be there, and they should have been put out of their misery. So
they didn't look too embarrassed. They
have to do their job with pride? Do they all like watch them play for Manchester United?
It's a weird situation again.
They were put into a weird situation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? Just like they did with Ole. They left Ole out to dry for a month when they should have fired him right after the Scouse Bastard match. Just like Scholes said. And they didn't, and they're going to do the same with these players. And, like, what are they going to do? I'm telling you, like, part of them wants to get Michael Carrick, see if he'll go on a run.
Just
bro.
Don't. I'm telling you. I have to stop watching this team if that happens. I swear to God. If that happens, I will have to reevaluate like a lot of things.
So we're not
like,
going to Heisman Franz Fest.
I ain't doing that. We got to get a world class manager, sir. We need world class manager at Manchester United. That is what we need. We've been dying for. Give it to me, sir. Ten Hag, please. Please come.
You're not getting who you want.
Look, we qualify for the Champions League. We can moan all we want. We're in the knockout stages, sir. My call's still on. You say we would win the league. It's hard to see how that's possible. I say we win the Champions League. So I'm kind of winning the race to the bottom at the moment. But we got in the next match. That's right. It's a big one, sir. We're going to be eating Thanksgiving leftovers. Chelsea versus Manchester United. At the Bridge, sir. This is the 13th game week in the English Premier League. We'll be played Sunday, November 28th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Chelsea scum, top of the table, sir. 29 points, and we just keep falling. 8th with 17. Can you imagine that, sir? What is double of 17? 34. We're close. You know, it's like of all the things, like
so look at that goal against. They've conceded 4 goals in the league. We've conceded 21.
But this is a throwaway. You got Ole's
pressure's on them, bro. Ole's minions. Where do you see the odds? I've never seen United odds like that in a long time.
You got Ole's minions running it. Like they're gonna lose. Just don't get embarrassed. I think that's gonna be like what they're gonna try to do. And look, you can't blame them for losing to Chelsea. Heavy hearts here for the American Red Devils, our really good friend, the Chelsea fan. You know, we haven't played them since he passed away. And it's with heavy hearts, sir. I think I haven't been looking at this match on the calendar for that specific reason. So I get a little emotional talking about it. I don't have that, I don't have that extra spit on the fastball today to talk about how much I hate Chelsea. Usually we go through the whole Roman Abramovich history and how much we hate them and all this stuff, but you know, it's just going to be a tough contest for us personally. And you know, one, we hope that Manchester United can sort of not make embarrassing, not make it 4-1, not make it 5-0. I'd take a 2-0. But then you got the storyline, sir. Lukaku, he didn't like United, sir. He's gonna have a lot to say. I mean, it's just a lot of going on in this match, sir. How are you feeling about it?
No, well, there's the personal element you talked about, right? Like, a month ago, I was in England. You know, I didn't just go to Old Trafford. I also paid my respect at the Bridge before they played, I think, Norwich that weekend, sir. So, it's different. It's changed everything, right? So, it's like taking a little venom for the two of us out of this rivalry, right? Like, you hate Chelsea, but it's kind of different because the guy that used to text us the most shit about how bad
he would be, like,
he'd be the one all over us right now. That's kind of the real absence is the deafening silence. But it's hard for us, right? Because it's so raw, sir. But big game. I'd love for us to like put up a performance, but they're fucking rolling. And they're a very well-tuned machine at the moment, and they're very confident because they smoked Juventus today, 4-0.
I didn't see that.
They did.
They did,
by the way.
Lifetime versus Chelsea. Good thing history's on our side. We won 81, we've drawn 53, we lost 55. First time we ever played them, 1905, sir. We drew in Division 2. You know, Chelsea really had no history until the Russian crook. You know, all that money you took from the Russian crook. Recent meetings, sir. We did draw them last February, or this February, 0-0. Then at Old Trafford in October 2020, 0-0. Then we beat them at the Bridge, February 2020. Then we beat them Old Trafford. Then we beat the 4-0, the
famous
opening 4-0. April 2019. Yeah, yes, James. We were with our Chelsea friend in San Francisco drinking dark ales at a Chelsea bar. singing songs, sir. That was a great moment, beating them 4-0 in opening day. And it feels downhill ever since then. You know, Dan James with that goal and everything we thought he would be for United kind of fizzling out. So look, 2 wins, 2 draws in our last 4. We've had their number. It feels like they're ready to just throw a big punch and knock us out. You know, it's kind of like we've got the best of them, and we're due for like another Watford beats you 4-1. Then what do you do? They're coming into this game looking pretty good. Like you said, beat Norwich 7-0. Hopefully we can not stoop there. They did beat Southampton on penalties in the EFL Cup. Lots of rotation, though. Smacked Newcastle 3-0. Beat Malmo 1-0. Drew Burnley, there's a sign, and they beat Leicester City 3-0, who beat us 4-2. Try to do some math there. And like you said, they beat Juventus big time. Sir, it's one of those games. It's a headline game, and I think Chelsea's foaming at the mouth to embarrass us. They know we're there for the take-in. The players know it. They got that edge that we don't have. We are soft serve FC, sir. They're stomp shop. Like, they're coming for trophies. They're coming for scalps. United looking scared coming to this game. I'm feeling scared.
This is the most confident Chelsea team since, like, the 08 Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're on the up, and they've got a good team, and they've got a very good board. Hate to say it. And they're going to keep spending money because oil prices keep going up, baby. So they got plenty of money to spend.
Their owner can't come into the UK, though. Just remember that. He's not allowed in the UK after the poisoning event.
And this is basically the same as City. He's tied to that. City or PSG, right? It's basically like it's owned by the
Newcastle.
Russian government, effectively. It's like not any different. You know, just like Abramovich is kind of the middleman. So they, you know, let him have it. But all about this weekend, because it's all about the result. I want us to show up. Mick Fred special, shut it down, baby. Rashford on the wing. Let's go. Counter, counter, counter. What do you got to say about that, sir? How about it?
Looking at their lineup, most recently they've played the 3-4-2-1. Their goalkeeper, Mendy, and Nets actually turned out to be pretty solid after what is their crazy goalkeeper, Risa Balaga. I can't even say his name. he's like the most expensive goalkeeper ever, and he's on the bench. Exactly. That was a core joke that I would be sending our Chelsea friend. Sort of the back three, Rudiger, Silva, Chalaba, he's good.
Reece James is very good.
Midfield 4, Chilwell, Jorginho, Conte, and James. James thriving on the right side, Mason Mount, Hudson-Odoi, and then Kai Havertz at number 9. I believe Lukaku is injured, sir. Did he feature against Juventus?
That's a good question. I do not know, sir. I did not see who the actual scorers were. I know Reece James played very well in that match. That was what?
I'll take you through the United injury, sir, if you can check. Maybe Lukaku. It'd be interesting to see if Lukaku is going to be available. Amazing they've been playing that well. Rafael Varane, he is injured, potential return gets pushed back December 2nd. He has that thigh injury. Harry Maguire, he is suspended until December 2nd because of that sending off against, you know, Radio Watford, that big squad. Cavani, he has a knock. Paul Pogba, he's in Dubai. He's going to sign a new deal in January. Mason Greenwood, he had COVID, no return date. Luke Shaw, head injury, sir. That's concerning.
That is.
Right, because it was two of them. If you watched the prior match before Watford, he had a head injury, plays in Watford, goes down after getting hit in the head with the ball. Currently being assessed, so Telus might get some game time, but that's why you sign a player like Telus. A lot of injuries starting to pile up for Manchester United here. A little concerning.
For sure, and I am looking up the Chelsea lineup. Lukaku did not feature, but he was on the bench, so he could potentially come off the bench
for the United game.
So they're probably saving him. But they got a pretty fit squad. Pooley started up front today, actually, and they won 4-0. Like I said, James.
What's crazy is like
a
manager like Tuchel knows you save Lukaku for United because he's got an axe to grind.
He's definitely gonna score at the bridge. So they're due, and they are due to beat us bad. And unfortunately, I think he's still like, he didn't do a full breakup with the manager and the squad, and that I think that could hurt us in this game.
Well, we haven't shown that like grit and resilience to dig and defend and like, you know, put out, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of those like lower opposition teams that come to Old Trafford, and we throw everything at them back in the day, and they were able to hang on, wave after wave. And like, we're not that team. We're like a, you could score five. You could score six.
Come on in.
Score a goal. And Harry Maguire's not playing. That could be a positive, could be a negative. Give me your lineup, sir.
Sir, I got De Gea, AWB by Lindelof. I guess it's going to be Telles if Shaw's injured. Fred, Donny van de Beek. I think McTominay needs a rest. Rashford, Ronaldo, Sancho. I want to see that front of three. Who you got, sir?
Sir, I don't have... It's really the same as yours. I tried to put Greenwood in there, but with COVID, I doubt he's going to return. So it's going to be De Gea, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Baye, Lindelof, Shaw, Fred, Donny van de Beek at 8, Bruno at 10, Rashford, Ronaldo, and it's going to be Jadon Sancho. I'll put Greenwood there just for a shout, but I don't think he's going to make it back. Booking the bookies, United to win at the Bridge. Sir, plus 460, oof, an insult. You get 4.5 times your money if we beat Chelsea. Plus 300 for the draw. Minus 165, Chelsea heavy favorites. Only conceded 4 goals. Can CR7 do it? Man, it's been a while. Top first-time goal scorer, Lukaku, plus 300. Then Kai Havertz and Pulisic. So, you know,
wow.
Big, a lot of options for Chelsea. Ronaldo to score, plus 600. I mean, the only player on the top
nine.
Only
one United player on the top nine. That is incredible because their defense is so solid, sir. It's going to be a big test. We got to play with some intent. I think they're going to try and do the whole counter game, but I don't know. I'm dubious on that.
What's your score prediction for Chelsea?
1-1. Big point down the Bridge.
I'm going to say 4-1, Chelsea beat us 4. It's going to be the same as Watford. I want to say 4-2, like we can score 2. I want to say 1, that we can score 1. This is as tilted as the table is going to get towards Chelsea in a long time. And I think they're the type of team, they're ruthless. They don't, like United, it's like the one thing we decide when we want to show up. You know, it's like Chelsea's just going to, they're not going to be playing games. And United's, based on how we started at Villarreal, I mean, obviously a lot going on. Can you blame the players, right? You talk about the situation we're in because of the board. You fire the manager and you got Carrick running it. What's going on? And then these elite footballers have to perform. What's the system? What's going to change? It's like, how could you expect these players to play a Chelsea team that's so well drilled, have a great manager in this type of limbo situation? And you have to blame the board because Aston Villa sacks their manager, they get Gerrard in. It's like they got their next manager. There's no interim. It's like,
and he brought his team.
Steven Gerrard.
Right, and he shows up with his team. Right.
Steven Gerrard, here you go. This is my coaching staff. I'm here. We got him in a week.
How many managers have been fired before?
This is Manchester United.
What, 6-7 managers in the Premier League? Sir, you have to be ready to
go. You want
go.
Ten Hag? Here you go, Ajax. Here's 20 million. All right, you're a coach now. Like, done. Like,
they're
that's
not
it.
Willing to do that because they already have to pay out Ole and his staff.
It doesn't matter.
They just re-upped their staff like
$650 million
ago.
In revenue a year, sir. They can afford it.
I know they can, but they're
it's
cheap.
It's the coach cheap, of the cheap. Team. You make $650 million because of the football being played. Time to focus on the football, sir. I could be running this show. Let's go.
So they won't let you in.
They will not let me in. Speaking of not letting me in, United in the news. Maurizio Pochettino, he's happy at PSG and won't let Manchester United rumors distract him, sir. This is a lie. Pochettino, not only is he a bum like you called him on the last podcast, guy hates Pochettino. I'll tell you, when he's a Manchester United manager, Alex is going to sing a different tune.
Can't wait.
Absolutely. You can't be calling our manager a bum, sir.
Well, right now, he's not our manager. He's not a bum, but he's probably not
the... called him one.
So, well, he's never won anything. So, for me, that's hard to be like world-class manager. He ain't a world-class manager in my book, but what do I know?
Sir, round and round we go. Where the manager wheel stops, nobody knows. So, if you don't know, the whole rumor of Poch could leave PSG mid-season was floated around in every outlet, came out hot, right, when the United job was available. There's no source to it. If it comes out of multiple outlets and there's no source, it is Poch's agent calling and telling every single person that he wants the job. That is what his agent is doing. That is the direction where it's coming from. Poch to the press is going to play coy, but make no qualms about it. he wants to come to Manchester United. He always has wanted to come to Manchester United. And I guess PSG's just like not a great place to be for him. I don't know. I don't know why you would want to leave PSG to come to Manchester United. I know his family's in London. That could be the issue, sir. You're coaching all these all-stars. I don't know. If you can't handle them, how are you going to handle Ronaldo, Cavani, etc.? This is a little concerning. Everyone's saying Zidane to PSG, Poch to United. He's number one on the list. Ten Hag and Rodgers could be number two. How are you feeling? The guy you called a bum might be our coach.
Sir, it's appropriate. You know, that's like where the club is headed to this day. I don't give them a lot of confidence in who they're going to appoint next. So this feels on brand, you know, bringing a guy who's never really won anything and hopefully can cobble together all the superstars like he did so successfully at PSG when they won the league last year. Oh, wait, they didn't win the league last year. He blew it. So I'm just not that confident, but like he sounds just like a Glazer appointment. So that I wouldn't be shocked. I would root him on with all my heart, sir. I would root for Mauricio Pochettino from Argentina like a true-blooded fan, sir. But like at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to be a great appointment, but I'm rooting for him, sir. If he's our bum, he's my bum. Let's go. Let's go.
I agree with you 110%. You look at Pochettino, and I said it, you, the manager looking at the math, looking at the stats, looking at the manager on the rise, the style of play, it is Ten Hag. From here to next Sunday, if it's about football, it is Ten Hag. If it's about a yes man who will try to do a lot with whatever he's given, it is Pochettino. I mean, that is the number one thing he offers. He does not offer a CV with silverware at all. He offers a CV when the club wants to give him a horrible budget, he will make the most of it. Yeah, that is basically literally the if you looked at, he doesn't ruffle feathers. And if you looked at what the Glazers want, it is that. Guy doesn't ruffle feathers. He just takes whatever you give him, smiles, and tries his hardest. And someone like Ten Hag probably won't do that. And don't get it twisted. This is Manchester United. This is probably how many jobs are more coveted than the Manchester United managerial role. I would say it has to be, just because of Sir Alex Ferguson, it has to be number one. Well, tied
maybe,
with
maybe back in the day.
Madrid is not really like, do coaches really covet Madrid? I think players covet Madrid. Madrid is kind of like a turn and burn. Barcelona wasn't until recently, and then that's kind of the same thing. But like as far as like dreaming of managing a team, Manchester United is up there. So you maybe call it two compared to Madrid or whatever, but I mean the idea of becoming Sir Alex Ferguson 2.0, I think, is something that it is up there. So if you go to Ten Hag and you want him, he'll take it. If you want Pochettino, he'll take it. If you want Brendan Rodgers, he'll take it. You have the pick of the litter. Then we're going to get the next article here. If you have the pick of the litter, why are you going to be sitting around all year? Apparently, we're in talks with Ernesto Valverde over interim manager's job. And this is what I completely disagree with, is get the manager now. You have to get a manager now. There's so much football to play, Champions League to play for, top four to play for. Get him in now. It gives him such a head start so he can start managing the squad and identifying what he needs next summer. That is a critical part of this whole process. If he's managing another team, there's no way he's going to be able to focus on United at the same time. You have to start the process now. You got to get somebody in now. No interim. That is so stupid. Our director of football isn't really one. So much going on in this club that's absolutely run ass backwards, and this is one of them, sir. What do you make of Ernesto Valverde, interim?
So I don't know. I mean, interim before Pochettino, interim before I don't know. This club,
from Romano, by the way.
We have no idea what we're doing. No, so it's like probably legit. It's probably legit because maybe they're gonna wait until the end of the season with Poch and then do the switch out with Zidane. So it's more on brand, more of the same. I expect very little from Manchester United's front office these days. The Glazers, they don't give a shit about this club. Just in its ability to make money for them. So right now, I'm just hoping for the best. So I'm hoping United comes out on the front foot and shows Chelsea who Manchester United is, because we used to beat them up all over London, and we should go back to doing that again. I don't think it's going to happen this Sunday, sir, but like whatever it is, we're rooting for this team. I'm rooting for John Martal to get it right, but like Ed Woodward's like, I'm extending my contract. I ain't going nowhere. He's not going anywhere, bro.
Jump into the fan questions at JDW300. Quote, Carrick is a caretaker. End discussion. That's probably right. The interim is the caretaker. Van de Beek is an 8, not a 10, and it showed. Put him behind Bruno, Sancho, Rashi, and CR7, and that will be very dangerous. I don't trust Maguire, but the Iceman played well today. 3 points. Knockout stage qualified. On to Chelsea! Exclamation point.
Lindelof did play well. He was good today. It was best game of Lindelof in a while.
At Ty Kircher, quote, not much of a change in the first half, but things opened up in the second. Some quick passing, nice 2 goals. So happy for Sancho. On to the knockout stages. Keep that glorious angelic music pumping. No Hans and Franz. Long way to go, but a nice win. We haven't had that lately. I mean, that it felt so good to win. And last one here. At Jared United, quote, felt so damn good today, sirs. Needed that. Absolutely. Bring in the manager for a round of 16. Ten Hag, let's go. Poch, question mark. Backham, let's go for something. I think that's what we're saying. You're saying the same thing at Jared. And get that captain armband off Maguire and on to CR7 or De Gea already. I totally agree. Seen out the night. Obviously, it was dad's birthday, but he's still taking photos and stuff like that. You know that's going to look bad. I agree. Harry, captain material. After Greece, kind of been a little sideways. So that's it. That's the podcast. You like the American Red Devils? Check us out on Patreon. You can support us there, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can visit our website, www.americanreddevils.com, or write a review on iTunes. Sir, give them the top cities last 7 days.
Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Raufoss, Norway. Number two, Columbus, Ohio. Clearwater, Florida. Jackson, Ohio. Lillehammer, Norway. Balham, United Kingdom. Las Vegas, Nevada. Chicago, Illinois. Dhaka, Bangladesh. And last but not least, Stillwater, Oklahoma. Sir, how we doing?
We're going to leave you this week. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the turkey and the honey glazed ham if you got it. We're going to leave you with some sweet Champions League music. We've earned it. On to the knockout stages. Everyone enjoy their week.